Thank God. I want to welcome everyone to the broadcast today. There's a lot of good things going on. People's lives are changing. If yours hasn't changed yet, stick around. It will. Father, I just give thanks for all men and for all that are in authority, that they lead a godly and peaceable life. I pray the Spirit of God rest upon all the authorities of the land. I thank you, Father, for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, the judges' land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I pray the Spirit of God be upon all the authorities of the land. I thank you, Father, that President Trump and First Lady Melania were protected, and the Vice President were protected. I thank you for the angels of God encamping round about them and protecting them. I praise you, Father. I give you thanks. All right, let's get into this broadcast. We're going to be talking about grace, the grace of God. I'm titling this Grace to Grace. Right after I finished putting out last week's broadcast, and I was speaking on how we're spiritually regenerated as we put the Word of God in us and yield to God, you know, and it was confirmed to me right afterwards that I had the mind of God, which I pretty much knew I did anyway. But this is the scripture that came to me that just continues to support that same line of truth about as you put the Word in you and yield to God, He can transform you. Romans 12:1, this is what came to me right after the last week's broadcast. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let's read that same scripture or verse 2 in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior in the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, this word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. And this is where we get the English word metamorphosis. Everybody knows about metamorphosis, like caterpillar being transformed into a butterfly. We're transformed into a sinner, or from a sinner that was crawling around in the dirt in our sin, to like a butterfly that can be led by the Spirit. There's a spiritual truth in this, I'm telling you. When you're transformed, you can be led by the Spirit. Anyway, this word renew means renovation or rebuild. See, we're transformed, we're changed in a form, and this is the change of the heart. Our heart is rebuilt by the renewing of our mind. And this word mind is intellect, thought, and will. It's not just our thinking, but it's our will. It's the Greek word nous. Vine's Expository Dictionary says this word mind is the faculties of perception, understanding, knowledge, and the new nature. So as we present our bodies to God and resist being conformed to this world, then we'll be transformed by the rebuilding of our will, knowledge, and understanding. And you know, it only makes sense that as we stay yielded to God or yielded to the potter, then He can transform us like He shapes a pot, like a potter shapes a pot. Also, I shared the importance of continuing to be spiritually regenerated. This is just not knowledge. You know, we want to know this just for the hell of it. No. As we are transformed, and this is where, you know, if this isn't worked out in your life, you're not going to overcome. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, this is why we need to learn how to walk in the ways of God and be reborn, not be taught, oh, that all happened at once. And then we walk around and we just try to change our behavior. You can clean up the outside of the cup, but it's getting a new nature where you walk in the Spirit. See, the way you overcome the devil is by the Spirit. And the way, and when you're transformed, you're going to walk in the Spirit. Let me give you another scripture about overcoming as you're spiritually regenerated, Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, God brought this to my attention years back, that this word availeth, and you can go look it up in the Greek, look it up in Strong's, this word availeth means to prevail. Now, let me read it again. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision causes you to prevail, availeth, or prevails anything. You don't prevail, overcome by being circumcised, nor by uncircumcised. How do you overcome? How do you prevail? But faith which worketh by love. And see, this same Greek word availeth is in James 5:16. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth, or prevails much. So we prevail through faith which works by love. Now go back one verse and let's read this in context. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You know, faith and love is righteousness. It is the characteristics and traits of the new creature in Christ. So why are we waiting for it? Because it has to grow up in our heart. And the new creature in Christ, we become the new creature in Christ as it grows up in our heart, and then we can overcome. Now let's look at a similar scripture in the next chapter, verse 15, Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Oh, the new creature is faith and love. And he has to grow up in your heart. You have to, those characteristic traits have to grow up in your heart. That's part of becoming a new creature. We're waiting for that righteousness. And as it grows up in your heart, you will prevail. See, same Greek word, to prevail. So the new creature in Christ will prevail, and we are confidently expecting him to grow up in us as we sow the word of God in our hearts. All right? See, over and over, if you have ears to hear, I'm giving out the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And if you don't know this parable, the parable of the sower, how will you know all parables? Okay, let's talk about the grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man have received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, we have to use God's grace. We have to manage the grace. Okay, let's read that same verse in English Standard Version. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as a good steward of God's varied grace. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then as workers together sin, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee, aided thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now you have to get rid of this religious concept of salvation. It's a one-time experience. Salvation is deliverance. Healing of the spirit, soul, and body of man is an ongoing work of grace. When you first receive Jesus, that salvation, you get eternal life. It's the gift of eternal life. But then God wants to heal you. He wants to deliver your soul from all sin. He wants to make you the righteous of God. That's an ongoing work of salvation. So we don't receive the grace of God in vain. We receive the grace of God in vain if we don't use it to get more salvation. That's what it's saying here. Or we use the grace of God in vain, or it's we're not using it if we don't let God continue to deliver us from our sin or the healing of our soul and body. Now go back to one verse, and that's the end of the fifth chapter. And let's read this all together. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we read the end of the fifth chapter. It's written, Jesus was made sin for us, so we'd be made the righteousness of God. And then it goes and says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, use it. How do we use it in this situation? We keep mixing faith with what Jesus did on the cross. See, we'd never go away from the cross, because that's where the supply of salvation is, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Jesus became sin for us. We're made righteous on the cross. But we have to continue to mix faith with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Then we'll experience an ongoing salvation. We'll get delivered more and more. Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed of faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath that they shall enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Okay, so this is not talking about continue to believe to be able to make it to heaven. This is talking about continue to believe so you can enter into the rest of God, which is compared to the children of Israel entering into the promised land where you get all the blessings. See, when you receive Jesus, you have eternal life. It is the gift of God. You don't, and we don't earn gifts. And God wants you to be at peace knowing your sins are paid for. Now, the only thing is you do have to live a Christian life. You have to practice righteousness. That's not earning it. That's walking uprightly. That's what you're saved from, being rebellious. But we mix faith with the gospel to profit us. That's using the grace of God so we can go on to perfection, so that we can be delivered more, so we can get more blessings, we can be a more fruitful Christian. Turn to Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. More peace will come in your life as you're justified, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's read 1 and 2 in the New Life Version. Now that we have been made right with God by putting our trust in him, we have peace with him. It is because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. See, all grace. We didn't earn it. It's what Jesus did for us. By putting our trust in God, he has given us loving favor as he has received us. We are happy for the hope we have of sharing the shining greatness of God. Now, everybody would agree that we've been made righteous by what Jesus did on the cross for us. We can't earn it. It's all grace. Everybody would agree we have to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive this grace. Now, but does the grace of God just work automatically in a Christian's life after receiving the Lord? Or do we have to make an effort to yield to that grace, to use that grace? Because that's what we're getting into, because we're going to show you how to cooperate with God and keep a flow of grace in your life. So let's put our eyes on the Word of God. James 4:1, from hence come wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Okay, this is talking to believers. See, we have to be delivered from this. This is the lust of the old man. He was already crucified with Christ on the cross. But when you come out of the water, you got to keep reckoning him dead. You have to keep putting him off. You have to keep putting him to death. And he will pass away. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust. God will give you all kinds of good things to enjoy. You know, this was coming up in my heart lately. God made Abraham rich in gold, silver, and cattle. He had many sources of income. He was rich, and the blessings of Abraham come on us through the gospel. So where you come to scriptures about it being wrong to lust or coveting money, yes, coveting money, you have to get rid of the old man, then all the riches will come upon you. So anyway, back to James here. So we have various lusts warring within us to have its way. That's the old man wanting to do its thing. And like I said, it's the old man and that hadn't been put to death yet. But God has given you grace to deal with him. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto humble. So God's given us grace. Now it says, humble yourself. Okay, so you have to cooperate to keep that grace going. You know, and get that grace so it can work in you. So let's read it again. He giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to humble. He's giving grace, but you have to humble yourself to get it working in you. If you stay in pride, what is pride in this situation? You just let sin rule in your mortal body. It tells us in Romans 6, let not sin rule in your mortal body that you should obey it. So you've got these lusts trying to rule inside of you. You will have them at time, not all the time. Well, you may have it when you first start with the Lord. You got a bunch of this sin in you. But the more you overcome it, it gets less and less. It keeps being put to death. It keeps dying where you don't have the problem you used to have. But each time it rises up, don't let it rule. That's humbling yourself. Grace kicks in. All right? So grace is there. But you have to cooperate with God to keep the grace flowing. Verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and flee from you. And you notice now it goes right into talking about resist the devil. Why? If you walk in pride and yield to the sin rising up in you, it turns right around. And Romans says, to whom you yield, then you're yielding to the devil. So, but if you humble yourself, see, so there's using your will. You have to use your will not to let sin rule in you. Then grace kicks in. And then you're submitting yourself to God. Then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, I tell people, you know, I said, you cannot overcome the devil yielding to the devil. If people come against you, you can't and strife and hate and speaking against you. You can't overcome that responding in strife and hate. You overcome evil with good. So you have to submit yourself to God and deal with that situation according to the ways of God. And then you'll overcome the devil. See, but if you yield to strife, then you're caught up in the same spirit the other people are caught up in. You won't overcome. Okay, so submitting to God or obeying the word of God is humility, and it keeps that grace flowing. So when the lusts are warning us, we're at a crossroad. Are we going to obey the word of God and make effort to put off the lust? And that will be humility, and then grace kicks in. And the grace has already extended us to obey, but if we don't, then God will resist us. I think this would be a good time. Let's take a short break, and we're going to take up about the grace of God. And this would be an appropriate song to put in here. Let's do Amazing Grace by Pamela Pontiac.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Was blind,
Titus 2:11, New International Version. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Okay, it's appeared. It's offering salvation to all people. See, why are there people that are not getting saved? They're not receiving the grace. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives as present. Present age. Okay. See, grace is here to deliver us, but we have to make an effort to put off the worldly passions and make and let grace of God rule in our life. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us, and then that heard him? So if you ever see the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, okay? And I have to keep saying this because people get scared that if they don't work out their salvation and bring it to completion, they're not going to heaven. That is not what the Word of God teaches, okay? And I'll show you various scriptures on that. But you have eternal life when you receive Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. We have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You just make him Lord and walk with him. Okay, so you have eternal life. You've not neglected that part of yourself. But God requires us to continue in the faith and let us deliver us from all sin and make us his very own nature. Not everybody makes it to perfection. You know, you even see in the parable of the sower, let's read that, Matthew 13:28. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit. Now look at this. Some bring forth 100-fold. They go to perfection. They're full of the nature of God. Some only 60. Some only 30. See, some of God's people go into perfection. Others bear 60 or 30-fold of the fruit. This fruit is the new man in Christ. But every person in Christ goes to heaven. See, if you just abide in Christ, you'll go to heaven. So be at peace. See, so when I'm encouraging you to continue in the grace of God, continue to believe this, God does require you to do that, but you don't have to make it to perfection to go to heaven. You just receive Jesus, make him Lord, and walk with him. Okay? Just don't be deceived that you can go walk in willful sin and go to heaven. If people tell you that, they're lying, all right? And you don't have to trust me. Read the Word of God. I'm just pointing you to what the Word says. I'm pointing you to what Jesus said. I'll push you to Jesus Christ and his Lordship. I don't tell you, well, believe what I say and you'll be okay. Believe what the Word says. So these scriptures are talking about using the grace of God to overcome and becoming a more fruitful Christian. John 6:37, all that the Father given me shall come to me, and him that come to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Okay, so it was the grace of God that drawed us to come to the Lord, and then it's grace that caused us to obey. I want you to see God's grace starts us in this walk, continues us in this walk, and it works. More grace is in other people's life because they've learned to cooperate with God. Look at Romans 1:5, by whom we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. See? Okay, so we got the grace to cause us to obey, and the grace of God rules in our life as we obey. Let's look at that, Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'll say, God put the law in to make sin abound. Well, why would he do that? Because it gives us the knowledge of sin. It shows us how wretched we are. People were sinning from Adam to Moses. It just, they weren't charged for that sin because the law hadn't been put in until Moses. But they were being destroyed. And, you know, God in his great love went and had Jesus go preach to them later. It talks about that, I think, in the book of Job. When I think as he was being raised from the dead, he went to preach to the prisoners and the spirits in prison. Those were the people that died during Noah's flood. But they were sinning, but their sin was not charged against them because where there is no law, there is no transgression. So he put the law in to show us we're in a fallen state, and then it's the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, then we're no longer under the law. So, but sin was abounding. But where sin was abounding, grace did much more abound. Now, that as sin have reigned on a death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. It rules in your life through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So we receive grace to obey God, and then grace works in us as we use that grace to obey. So you got to cooperate with God. All right. It's just like we have a covenant. People try to take promises out of the covenant, out of the new covenant, and think they're going to get this promise. But I can show you all through the New Testament. If you do this, then you get this. I hear preachers say the very opposite. And I said, well, where did you get your doctrine from? You know, the Word of God teaches that you have to believe and obey. Even in the Old Testament, it says the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. Goes right into that in the New Covenant. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is Paul. He said, this is God's grace that made me what I am. And he was a murderer. He stood and he was called the chiefest of sinner. And he stood there and was an accomplished as Christians were murdered. Yet he was transformed and wrote about one third of the new covenant. And he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. See, Paul knew how to use that grace. He said, but I labored more abundantly than thou. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You know, I've had many times when grace was working in me to pray, and it was not only enjoyable, but it was profitable. See? Now, let me show you how God's grace is there for us always. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Boy, have I experienced that. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing about him being buffeted by the devil, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's read that in the International Standard Version. But he has told me, my grace is all you need, because my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I most happily boast about my weakness, so that the Messiah's power may rest on me. I was reading the International Standard Version. See, Paul had an evil spirit oppressing him, and he asked God three times to help him, and God said, my grace is all you need. So Paul just needed to believe the grace of God was already there to get him through that situation and continue in the faith. The only way our enemy, the devil, can defeat us is deceive us. And the only way to combat his deception is get the knowledge of the truth. Read the Word, pray the Word, learn what the Word of God says. And most importantly, get understanding. That's where I see lacking in the body of Christ. Is they've got knowledge, but they need more understanding of God's word so they can stand that word. And you know, when you have feelings of guilt, you have to keep putting in your heart that Jesus paid for every sin. And those that walk in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. And you need to tell the devil that. Tell the devil and tell your own heart that. You know, and I'm using this as an example of how you, as you get the truth established in your heart, you'll overcome one temptation of the devil after another. I had times in my walk where my heart agreed with the devil, and I saw it. I thought, oh, my God. I was agreeing that I was guilty. And you know, when the devil would make me guilty, I was agreeing with him. Yeah, I am guilty. And once I got my heart established that my sins were paid for and that it didn't even matter sins I was still struggling with, because as I walked in Christ, and walking in Christ is making an effort to keep the words of God and walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation to me. When I got that scripture established in my heart, I said, I'm not guilty. I'm in Christ. I mean, I don't even care if I still got sin. It says there's therefore now no condemnation of those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's therefore is referring back to I do that which I would not, and that which I'm trying to do, I can't seem to do. And he said, there's therefore now no condemnation to me. See, I was walking out of the slavery of sin. And you know what it says when you walk that way? Verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus will make you free from the law of sin and death. So I wasn't guilty. And then I got my faith working as I realized I wasn't guilty no matter what kind of sin I had in my life. Then I was getting set free. See, if you teach the book of Romans right, people walk right out of their sin. I was at a church where this preacher kept saying this over and over. There's no condemnation of those who are in Christ who walk in the Spirit. And then he'd tell us over and over, y'all are not in the Spirit. He's ministering condemnation. If he'd have taught us this right, he'd have said, well, if you just practice the word the best you can. You're in Christ. There's no condemnation to you, and you'll be getting set free. Just like Jesus told the people in John 8, he said, if you'll continue my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Well, as you continue the word, you're walking right out of your sins. You come out of the slavery of sin. That's what this is teaching. But you're going to sin in the process of coming out, but you don't have to be guilty because you're in Christ. All right? Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Okay. There's some suffering when you're being tempted. It says the Lord is touched when you're suffering. Well, of course he is. Think about it this way. When you have pain in your body, do you feel it? Well, we're his body. We're the body of Christ. And he can feel it. And it says that we're going to read this. It says we are to come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, to find grace when we're going through this. Let's read this again. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So don't think Jesus doesn't know you're hurting. And now check this out. He's right here to give grace. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Are you hurting? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Are you having trouble with a temptation? You're having trouble with your flesh, having trouble overcoming? Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. See, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is all you need. And he says, come, find grace to help in time of need. He said, why didn't he just give us grace automatically? Because he's training us to walk with him, to yield to him. That way he can transform us into his image. Okay. Let's look at how we need to obtain grace when we're being corrected. Okay. We saw, the devil's going to tempt you. He wants to destroy you. God's letting you go through the temptation because it actually perfects you, establishes strength, and settles you. Okay, now let's look at how we need to get grace when we're being corrected. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now, no chasing for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Notice you have to be corrected to bear the fruit or the characteristics of righteousness, that new man. Okay, verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees. When you're being corrected, lift up your hands which hang down and feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. See, God's right with you when you're going through this. Now look at verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble thereby many be fouled. So this is in the context of being corrected and says, don't fail to get God's grace. So you won't get bitter and you won't get offended at God and you can overcome. See how much God is for us? Let's read verse 15 in the Common English Bible. Make sure that no man misses out on God's grace. Make sure that no root of bitterness grows up that it might cause trouble and pollute many people. Let's read this English Standard Version. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See, I tell you how you have to make effort to get you have to yield to God to get that grace. You have to believe God. You access the grace of God by faith, by putting your trust in the Lord. Okay? Acts 13:43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, Paul was speaking to them, persuade them to continue in the grace of God. So, we're instructed to continue in the grace of God, manage the grace, use the grace. So, we need to learn how to do this. Now, some of you will find you've already got that. You've already learned how to get that working. And maybe you get in your eyes going, oh, now I can see it written in the Word of God. I knew that worked, but I didn't really see it. And maybe some of you have got that working more fully, or maybe you're perfecting. If so, that's great. I'm not here trying to tell you I've arrived, or there aren't people that are more spiritual than me, or people that walk in better faith and grace. I'm not in competition with anybody. I just want to, and I can only help people to the degree that I've been helped. And if I do see any preeminence in my heart, I'm going to put it off, put it to death. That's what I see a lot going on in the church, is people wanting to have preeminence. And I see that in social media big time. They don't even want to exhort one another. The only time you can really fellowship with people on social media if it's around their posts. And I'm serious. That's like I post stuff all the time. People don't ever, that's not true. It's not ever, but very, not very often do they fellowship with me on my post. But if I comment on their post, then they'll fellowship. And so I believe a lot of that's preeminence, and they need to be put that old man of preeminence to death. Anyway, I do have an announcement to make. My ministry has been accepted by the IRS, and I am now a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So all financial gifts are tax deductible. And so anyone out there who wants to be a part of this ministry by giving financially, just go to my website, scottparkeronline.com, and you can go to the Give page. It's on the front of my website. And there's various ways to give to the ministry. I'm using the Stripe terminal, and I have several QR code payment signs on there if you want to give that way. I couldn't seem to get that Stripe terminal to show the picture. I've got the link on there, and then I've got the QR code for Stripe, and then I've got a PayPal and a Venmo QR code. So anyway, there's various ways to give to the ministry. And so I encourage you to support the ministry. Another thing, we are in the process of putting together worship songs, and we're going to start each broadcast off with a short time of worship. And I want to make my ministry a whole church service. So because, you know, first of all, some people have moved more towards the internet, social media, for their church service. And so, and you know, there's some people that are in places they can't get to church. Some people prefer to stay home and attend a church service. And we're also going to be moving. I got to overcome this. I'm going to be moving to video, Roku TV, Apple TV, and do my services on video. Now everything is just audio. There's a little bit of there's a big overtime. I had to overcome a lot just before take pictures of myself because I'm not like myself. And so I'm coming out of that, and I can take a few pictures of myself. I like myself better, but doing video is a whole nother thing. And so we're working towards that. I'm overcoming spirits. There's always sin and iniquity and spirits you got to overcome to bring these forth. So anyway, we're going to be starting off broadcasts with time of worship. And, you know, this will open up people's hearts to receive the word of God. And I'll just tell you this, through worshiping God, you can touch the heart of God with your worship towards him, and he'll respond. I've had God respond to my worship. Okay, let me check for time. Yeah, this is very good. It's actually just a little over 30 minutes, and we put a song in there. It's not much more than that. So don't believe I've got anything else to say. If there's anyone out there who's never been born again, received the Lord Jesus Christ, just say this prayer. Just repeat after me right now. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Right now, Jesus, I receive you. If you've said that prayer, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you, and God has started a work of grace in your life. I encourage you to come back and continue to hear our audios and be a partaker of the grace of God that's on my life, you know, because it's that grace that will change your life. We are changed from faith to faith, grace to grace, glory to glory, honor to honor, and glory is honor. So thank God for every one of you out there. Everybody have a great day. God bless.